Streaming and serving out of Fayetteville, Georgia, you are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe. Let's check out today's message.
So this morning, a quick message, right? Because I know that we are on time here. Services in India go a long time. And you're standing for an hour singing songs that you don't know. Well, you're listening to songs that you don't know. And but we're not in India. We're in America. And so I want to just share a couple of things with you concerning missions. And if you got a Bible this morning, because none of these things are going to be on the screen. So I want you to use your Bible because we are a Bible-believing church. And turn in John 15, 4 and 5. There is so much that can be said about traveling abroad and going on missions, and this is why we dedicate an entire month to missions here at our church. We stress it through our giving as well. At least 10% or so of our budget goes towards missions every year. Because we believe in supporting local missions that Rick talked about, and of course, you know, we believe in global missions, which is what we've been talking about today. And by the way, I just want to say publicly thank you to Rick and to Trevor for both filling in for me while I was gone. Appreciate that very much. And one of the things that you'll see here in John 15, and this is important for us all to realize, is that apart from Christ, we can do nothing, right? Apart from Jesus, we're no good at all, right? Even our good deeds are like filthy rags before God. And so it's important for us to understand that wherever we go and whatever we're doing, that we're connected to God, that we're connected to Jesus through the Holy Spirit who's working in us. You know, all of us who traveled, and those of you who have been to places before, can all attest to this fact that, you know, we're not better than anybody else. The only difference is that we've been willing to say, yeah, I'll go. and that's the only difference. That you could be going and making these kind of differences around the world or even down the street if you would just say, yes, I'll do it. I'll be available, God. Use me, God. But the way you get used is to be connected to Christ. It all starts there. And so Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything that's of eternal value apart from Christ. Look at John 15, verse 4 and 5. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot produce fruit unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So it all starts there. It all starts with everybody who's a follower of Christ saying, yes, I'm connected to the vine. I'm connected to Christ. And if you're connected to Christ, this is what's supposed to happen. You are supposed to bear much fruit. So a great place to start is to start looking at your life saying, am I bearing fruit? What kind of fruit am I bearing? Because the fruit of the Spirit is evident. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Fruit of the flesh is evident. It's pretty plain to see when you're not walking with Jesus. Everybody knows it. Sometimes, unfortunately, we're not aware of the fruit that we're not bearing. Look at 2 Timothy 4, 3. 2 Timothy 4, 3. Turn over there. You know, this trip was meaningful in so many ways. This was my fourth trip to India. I've been able to go several times, and this trip, for me, I would have to say, is probably the best mission trip I've ever been on. And that's saying a lot, because I do have high expectations over things, not just of the people that we're working with, but of myself. And as you heard everyone give testimony to this morning, we hit the ground running and we did not stop. And that's the kind of mission trip I like. I know a lot of people, you know, say to me, and I kind of said this to our group, you know, because Pastor Rajendra does keep things moving. I mean, he's got things going on all the time. And yet, when I'm here in America, people are looking at me saying, Pastor, slow down. Pastor, stop. You're doing too much. I'm like, would y'all say that to Rajendra? Because it's like, look, you know, we didn't stop. Why is it that we feel like it's okay for a missionary to be running and running and running, and yet in America, if we're trying to do more and more and more, which is our word for the year, by the way, we're telling everybody, stop, slow down, you're going to burn yourself out. And so, you know, to me, I'm just like, this is one of the reasons why I felt like it was a great trip, because I didn't have anybody telling me, oh, you're doing too much. What I had was an opportunity to do everything I could possibly do. And that meant, yeah, at night we were tired. But you know what? You know why some people aren't tired? Because you're not working. Because you're not doing anything. You know why you don't have fruit? It's because you're not bearing fruit. You got to bear it. And bearing it means work. You got to take care of the soil. You got to fertilize it. You got to nurture it. And sometimes people just want fruit to pop out. You know, I'm just going to make this fruit happen. Listen, you, apart from him, you can do nothing. But if we stay connected to him, we're going to bear much fruit. Look at 2 Timothy 4:3. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. This morning, I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. Because we are supposed to be busy for the kingdom. We're supposed to be doing work for the kingdom. And this doesn't just happen around the world. It happens right here. And so if we're not bearing fruit, we have to ask ourselves why. Why are we not bearing fruit? Why is it that we can hear stories about like this? And this is what I tell people all the time when they say, man, you know, that's such a great, great trip. It's so good that you were able to go and do that. And I'm like, well, you could have the same stories if you went. You could have the same kind of adventurous life. You could have to do the same kind of things, but you're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to take some steps of faith. When was the last time you did anything out of faith? When was the last time you did anything out of faith? Because faith requires you to not know how it's going to turn out. You see, we try to orchestrate all the details ahead of time. And this is even something that Al was talking about, right? He's trying to, you know, get all the thoughts together and all these kind of things. And so this morning, I made a few notes, but I didn't plan on saying all this. But what I'm telling you is this, is that sometimes we have to step out in faith. And if you're not willing to live by faith, the Bible says this, the just will live by faith. There is no other way for a Christian to live except by faith. And so we have a lot of churches where people want to go and they're going to hear nice things. They're going to feel good about their service. They're going to walk out of here saying, wow, you know, that was such a great service, but didn't really change my life. I just felt good. You see, God wants to change your life. God wants to change the way you're living. And this has been a challenge for me even, you know, as a Christian for a long time. I mean, I've been a follower of Christ for over 40 years. And I've been in ministry for like 36. So when I think about ministry and doing ministry all this time, I look at how my life has progressed and the things that God has allowed me to do. And I'm telling you this, that the only reason I've been to like 19 different countries, the only reason I've been on several continents, the only reason I've been able to do all these things is simply because I said, I'll go. That's it. It's not because I have an education. It's not because I have a lot of money. Listen, I'm telling you this. I know money is a big thing for a lot of people. But here at our church, and I can tell you this from my own personal testimony, if you commit to go, God's going to get you there. There were a few people on this trip. They're thinking, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how where the money's going to come from. Listen, that's the last of God's worries. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So it's about our availability. Will we make ourselves available to God? Yet a lot of churches, all they want you to do is just come. Just come to the church and sit down and give your money to the church. We want you to give your money to God. We want you to give your money to the work that he's doing around the world. And if you can find an organization where you can contribute that way, then please do it. We're not looking for your money. We want you to just plug in and serve God. So, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. One of the things that was mentioned about preparing for this trip was we had a lot of spiritual battles, a lot, leading up to this trip. In fact, from I think it was 2 weeks before we left to the week after we were there, 3 dog bites with people that we know. My dog had bit somebody. Another dog that was in the backyard with my dog bit their owner. Richard's dog bit someone. And so what I'm trying to tell you is this. It's just, how does that happen? 3 things like that with people on the team in a matter of a couple of weeks. It's spiritual warfare. These kind of things happen. And you've got to be prepared. Ariel was talking about, you know, trying to get COVID tests. We're going all over the creation here in Fayetteville trying to find someplace to give us a COVID test. And then after we finally get it done, they say, oh, you don't need it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Man, we've been driving ourselves crazy trying to get this stupid test. Right? Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying there's all kinds of things that you're going to come up against when you're trying to go and serve the Lord. And yet, you got to go through that process. Ephesians chapter 6, right? This is the passage that's most known for spiritual warfare. Many of us are familiar with this passage. Yeah, and it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Let me get there. One more page. Here. Chapter 6, 10 through 12. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. And listen, he's got some strategies for you. Don't be fooled into thinking that, oh, you know, I'm not a target. Yes, you are. If you're a follower of Jesus, and by the way, if you're going to try to sell out to God and be a more faithful follower of Jesus, your target just got bigger. And he's going to do all that he can do to discourage you from doing what God wants you to do. He's going to use family. He's going to use friends. He's going to use finances. There's 3 F's for you. So it's like it's important for us to understand that we simply need to stand. And sometimes you're standing on your knees. One of the things that we were talking about to Pastor Rajendra while we were over there, you know, and he was talking about him starting his ministry. And he's like, you know, he didn't have a theology degree. He didn't have all these things. He had an engineering degree. And so he was like, yeah, you know, I majored in neology. We're like, what is neology? He was like, yeah, I was on my knees praying, and God built this ministry. And you know, there's a lot of things that can happen when we're willing to get on our knees and pray. But this is what we've got to understand, that sometimes we're going to stand, and we're only going to stand when we're kneeling. So he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. So often, we're not aware of the spiritual battles until you go to another country. We have been numbed here. We've been dumbed down here. We've been lulled to sleep here with just hearing nice and pleasant things that make us feel good. And when you go to another country and you see that there are Hindus right across the street who are marking things on their ground to worship their God, and you're the only Christian presence. I know y'all are talking about light of the world. Listen, there's darkness all around. And if we refuse to shine, how great is that darkness? You have the opportunity to be a light wherever you are. Because there is spiritual darkness everywhere. So don't put your light out. Prayer matters. It's important for us to be praying people. When we were over there, as you heard said, those people, I mean, after the service was over, they were lining up just asking for prayer after prayer after prayer. Some of them were praying for surgeries. Some of them were praying for their education and exams that were coming up. They were praying over all kinds of things. And I think that sometimes we minimize the power of prayer. That we can actually affect the world by praying. And even though many of you may never, ever go to India, you might not ever go. And listen, next year, well, this year, we've got El Salvador coming up. We've got Honduras coming up. We've got Kenya coming up. This year, next year, we're looking at Lebanon. Next year, we're looking at Korea and Japan. Next year, we're looking at a lot of different kinds of ministry opportunities. I'm telling you that it's not for lack of opportunity. It's just who's willing to go, who's willing to trust the Lord. So start praying right now. Are you one that God would want to send? Probably one of the biggest things that I take away from this, and I'll wrap it up here, is that the trip's not over just because the flight ended. You know, for me, it was a great time having camp with the kids, having a pastor's conference. We got to speak at, you know, several churches. We did an inauguration for a brand new church. We got to do a ton of different kinds of things. And all those things were meaningful, and it was wonderful to be part of it. But for me, the highlight was on the plane coming back to America. And there was a gentleman who was sitting behind us. His name was Samir. And as he was talking, he had already met a few members of our team. And so for whatever reason, he had stood up and was standing right beside my aisle and started just talking to me and said, "Hey, you know, where are you from, what you doing?" And began to discuss with him some about our mission. And so he's like, "You know, what vein are you?" You know, and it's like, "Well, you know, I'm a Jesus follower, but you know, if you need another thing, we're probably more Baptist than anything. Probably, you know, non-denominational is what our church is." And so we went through all that with him. And come to find out, you know, he was like, "Well, that's good. You know, that's good that you're doing that." And so then he sat back down. And I got up because I was going to go use the restroom. And while I was walking by, it was like the Lord was like, "You're going to miss this opportunity, man. He just asked you about your faith. Why don't you ask him about his?" So I said, "Okay, Lord, I don't really want to, but I will." Because I knew this was going to turn into a long conversation. And I was trying to get to the bathroom. And so I couldn't, you know, I was like, "So you asked me about my faith. What faith are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm Buddhist." And I said, "Oh, okay." And we started up talking about God and Christ and religion and his faith, and he went on about a lot of other things, and I mean, some crazy things. He was like, you know, talking to me about the Bible and, you know, why it can't be trusted and on and on. And then he even told me, he's like, "You should write your own Bible." I was like, "What are you talking about, man? You crazy." He's like, "Yeah, you got AI now. You can write your own Bible." He was like, if you write your Bible, I'll read it." I was like, "No, how about you read the one that's already been written," right? But anyway, we exchanged, or I gave him my information at the end. And the point of it was this for me, is that here's a guy who, in our discussion, he asked me, tell me, what do you believe again? And I said, "Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God." And he said, "Really?" He said, "I've never heard that before." He said, "I've always heard people talk about Jesus being the Son of God. I've never heard anybody say that Jesus was God." And I said, "Well, he is." And I said, "And that's the one that I worship." And we talked about the Trinity a little bit, got into some other discussions. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is this, is that we sometimes are confining our mission experience to going somewhere instead of taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives us right here in a conversation with somebody. You know, and he told me, he said, "You know, I think this is a divine appointment at 35,000 feet. And I said, "I agree with you. I agree with you. This is a divine appointment." So pray for Samir, because I don't know if he'll ever reach out. But this is what I do know, is that the Word of God is powerful. That God and Jesus are at work everywhere. And I told him that. He said, "Hey, I want you to write that Bible." And I said, "Well, you're asking me to do something I'm not going to do. But here's what I want you to do for me." I said, "I want you to pray that Jesus would reveal himself to you." So would you pray that? And so I want to encourage you, as we wrap up, and band, you guys can come on up. There are 8 billion reasons. This is our theme through Missions Month. 8 billion reasons that we should follow Christ's last command. You know what that last command is? It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples. This is part of our desire, our mission here at our church, is that we would be disciples who are making disciples. But I want to tell you this. If you're not making disciples, then you are failing the mission. Do you understand that? That Jesus, the very last thing he's told his disciples was, go and make disciples. So that means that you can do it. He's telling you, go and do what I'm telling you to do, but you can't do that apart from him. You got to stay connected to him. But if you will stay connected to him, his Holy Spirit will use you to do things that you never thought you could do. So there are 8 billion reasons because there are over 8 billion people in the world. And every one of those people need Jesus. Every one of these people around the world need Jesus. And many of them have not heard. Many of them don't know who Jesus is. They don't know that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't know that Jesus is God. And so it's important for us to be committed to getting the word to those 8 billion people. God has left you here to make him known. God has left you here to make a difference. Today, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've never confessed him as your Lord and Savior. I want to tell you that it's not a prayer that saves you. You could have said words, but listen, just because you say words don't mean you're saved. Just because you prayed a prayer when you were 4 or 5 years old at a church, at a VBS, doesn't mean you're saved. It's Jesus who saves you. And the question is, are you trusting him today with your eternal life? Because the Bible tells us this, there is no other way to heaven except by him. That he's the way, the truth, and the life. And it's possible. It's possible that the Lord has not returned back, according to 2 Peter 3:9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That the whole reason that Jesus hasn't returned is because he cares about 8 billion people knowing him. And you're one of those 8 billion people this morning. Do you know him? Is he your Lord and Savior? Today, I want to encourage you. We're in a country where you're not being persecuted. You're in a country where you can freely worship wherever. You're in a country where you've got more access to Bibles. I mean, there's like 1,600 translations of the Bible. You can find one that you can understand and read. God has allowed you to live in a place where access to church, to growth, to knowing him, it's easy. And I would dare say this, that the reason the underground church in China, that the reason places like North Africa, North India, why those people are so serious about God is because they're being persecuted daily. It ain't easy to be a Christian in other places. It ain't easy to talk about your faith in other places, but they are committed. They are committed. Would you be committed to Christ today? Would you bow your heads and pray with me? This morning, what is the Lord saying to you? I want you to understand that Jesus came for the sole purpose of dying for us, because there was no way we could get to God. We couldn't do enough. We couldn't be good enough. We couldn't redeem ourselves. And this morning, we are all trusting in someone or something. And I want to implore you to trust in Jesus, that you would give yourself to him and allow him to come in and change your life forever. You see, this morning, you are the mission. Jesus came as a missionary to our earth so that everyone, anyone who believed in him would not have to perish, but could have everlasting life. Today, would you put your trust, your faith in him alone? Simply confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible tells us that we will be saved, because if you have the Son, you have life. But if you do not have the Son of God, you do not have life. Today is the day of salvation. Don't reject him. cry out to him. Tell him that you need him. Tell him that you believe in him. Tell him that you love him. Tell him thank you for dying in your place and become a child of God today. Lord, we thank you for this trip. We thank you for all the things that you've done in us. We thank you for the things that you want to do through us. And we pray that today, God, your spirit would move mightily among us. God, we don't want to be left out of what you're doing around the world. This doesn't have to just be another church service that we endure. God, this could be a church service where we were changed. So, Father, speak to us. If there are some here that you're calling, God, to go and to serve, then, God, I pray that they would trust you. God, if there are some here that you want to serve in some other capacity, I pray, God, that they would trust you. Lord, give us faith to believe. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about us, please visit our website at newvisionc.com and our socials at New Vision Church and NVC Next Gen. Just look for the round broken V logo and we'll see you soon. God bless.